This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
We're looking at proposals to lower the commercial taxes for properties built on the former I-195 property and elsewhere in Providence. To do that and talk in general terms, our guest is attorney Nicholas Hemond of the firm Darrow Everett, who has extensive experience with policy and zoning issues. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
First basic general question, do the tax rates in your mind need to be locked in totally on the books to attract companies?
Well, Dave, I think what you generally see is the fact that in Rhode Island we're at a competitive disadvantage in general, where we have construction costs here that are pretty much 90%, generally speaking, of what they are in Boston. And projects are really only to get about 40-45% of the rents that the projects in Boston collect. So when you're talking about developers trying to develop real estate here, they need something to close that gap. And whether it's locking in the tax rate over a course of time, I think the general process now is to allow for flexibility and keep the rates and the payments dynamic, but come up with a predictable scheme that a developer or an owner of property can see and know what his taxes are going to be going out. And that's why I think the new model of tax stabilizations is not to say you're going to pay this flat amount for a period of time, but to give you a predictable schedule ramping up to that full amount over a period of time. So it's not the rate that's so important, but it's the increase of the valuation of the property from start to finish of a project that I think is where you really need to have a predictable model so that these projects can get the green light and go on from a finance standpoint.
Now, especially in the city, in Providence, there's a proposal that's received its initial hearings to create TSAs, an administrative TSA, both for the I-195 land and out in the neighborhoods. Does this meet the, you know, kind of the what you think the needs are?
Well, I think certainly you see that nothing's really happened with the 195 land to this point. You have proposals. But we're in probably about 3 years into this whole process now, and it's not as though people have been knocking down the doors to do projects there.
And there's one project that's had to have its deadline extended to
right.
actually sign it because they haven't been able to come to an agreement
right.
with the city.
And you're talking about new construction where you're taking land where there's nothing and putting a building and increasing the values. So it's really a unique aspect that that model of tax stabilization is going to consider because previously, they've been used in large part for rehabilitation of historic properties. So you have that baseline tax already there that exists prior to rehabilitation. So I think certainly a predictable process for 195 is a must-have because at the end of the day, when that area of our city is vibrant, it's booming, there are jobs, not just in construction but permanent jobs, the city's going to see the economic benefit to that. And we can't just focus on, well, we have to get them paying full taxes right away. We don't want to give tax breaks. Well, right now there is no revenue. And each year under these models, you're getting more and more revenue. You're getting the benefit of the project, and the project's able to go forward. I think it's absolutely critical that we have that model in place to get those projects up and running. And I think just the conversation of having it now, that it's becoming a reality, that there is a proposal in the council, it's been heard in finance, gives confidence to the community that's looking out at Rhode Island trying to figure out what the landscape's going to be because nobody really wants to be the first person in that unknown territory. Now that there's a predictable model that will hopefully be in place within a couple of months, I think you'll see these projects get going.
Which leads to another question. What can the 195 Redevelopment Commission do at this point while the tax issue is being settled?
I think that they have to continue to do their best efforts to attract developers into this area and to let developers know that we're open for business. But I think this council will act rather swiftly on the 195 tax stabilization model.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with attorney Nicholas Hemond.
You know, it's interesting. What has changed? Why do you think there's momentum now to finally make this happen? Because this issue has not been hidden from anyone. Why now?
That's a great question, and I think it speaks to an overall theme in economic development in this state. I think the state of our economy, having been stalled for the past 7 years or so, has really created kind of a cynicism towards programs, where I think you have people saying, well, I pay my taxes. No one's giving me a break on my taxes. And because people have been struggling, the citizens of the state, it's kind of fed its way into the politics of it. Now, the economy's starting to come back. The economic development hangover is starting to lift, And now our political leaders are stepping up to the plate to propose, you know, bold economic incentive programs. I mean, the governor's budget, or the House budget that passed, offered a pretty bold economic development program for the state and projects to go forward. So I think as the tax stabilization is part of that, people are looking to it. We have a new model. It's not that old form where you had a flat payment for 10, 15 years, and then all of a sudden you're coming off into a massive cliff. We've reformed that process through the projects that have gone forward over the past couple of years. And when you look at the success, Westminster Street, what Buff Chase and his organization has done to Westminster Street through use of tax stabilization, it works. You have projects that were paying $10,000 a year in taxes that now pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in taxes. They were blighted. They weren't producing anything to the economy. And because of these programs, they now are very productive elements of our city that have reformed the process, that have made the city attractive to investment. They spur other projects, and they work. And we don't have many tools in our tool chest as a city to offer developers and offer projects the incentive to come here. The tax stabilization has been the most successful, and getting people to remember that, I think, has been important. And that's why you're starting to see some movement now, as people are realizing, hey, these things work.
So a universal tax stabilization policy for the city of Providence, for the 195 land and for the Capitol Center and neighborhood development, or separate them and go at them with different options?
I think 195 is clearly a unique element because it's vacant in general. I think the neighborhood certainly is a great thing because you're talking about smaller projects. That ordinance is targeted towards projects, I think, between $250,000 and $3 million. There's not a lot of activity in the neighborhood. You know, I've been involved, just speaking generally, with a project in the West End neighborhood. That's going to be a great project for the city once it gets up and running. But there are not a lot of projects like that because the costs of construction remain the same. Out in our neighborhoods, the rents are even lower than they are downtown. So you don't get the income that you need to complete your finance puzzle in getting the projects to go forward. So having neighborhood-specific tax incentives, I think, is absolutely crucial, especially in the West End, the South Side, where we have underutilized properties, we have underutilized historic buildings that we can transform the way they have downtown. I think having a standard program for that is critical. But I think we also can't forget about our downtown. A lot of these tax stabilizations have been done downtown. Downtown would not be the same place as it is today without them. Whether a general program will come forward for downtown, I don't know at this point, but I do think we have to have an open mind to large-scale projects that are bigger than what will be done in the neighborhoods that still can be done downtown that will be productive for the city. And we have to have flexibility to allow for that.
Okay, we have to wrap it up here. Thanks to attorney Nicholas Hammond, our guest on The Bottom Line.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
You bet, Dave.
And I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.